And chair members of the commission, Secretary Rowling, Al Nedved, Deputy Director for the Division of Parks and Recreation. Staff would like to give you a little update on the ADA and in the state park system here. We do a lot of work with our state park facilities and services, and with a lot of that, it's in consideration of people with disabilities. We want to make sure that our parks and recreational opportunities are available to everybody. So when we provide park services and we develop new campgrounds and different things that we do out there, it's always in mind that we make sure those facilities comply with the ADA Act and most of all remove those barriers to participation, so we have the maximum amount of people that can enjoy our facilities as possible. But before I get into some of the things that we're doing this year, with some special projects we're doing, maybe just a little bit of background on the ADA and kind of why we're doing this at this time to bring this agenda item to you folks. But the ADA was enacted in 1990, in July 26th of 1990. So it's the 35th year of the ADA Act, and thus July is always celebrated as ADA or Disabilities Awareness Month. So that's kind of why, one of the reasons we like to bring this to you folks and highlight some of the things we're doing this year and some of the extra things that we're trying to accomplish this year with some specific goals and projects that we're doing out there. But like I say, it was enacted in 1990, and state and local governments typically fall under Title II of the Act, which kind of treats a little bit differently, different little set of standards or requirements than either private sectors or the federal government. But we typically follow that Title II part of the Act, and as we do compliance and develop facilities and projects. And 1 in 4 people in South Dakota have a disability. Sometimes those disabilities come in different shapes and forms. They can be mobility disabilities, they can be visual disabilities, hearing, speech, cognition, just a variety of different things. But 1 in 4 of 25% of all adults in South Dakota do have a disability. Disabilities are distributed widely throughout the state. This particular website kind of shows concentration as a percentage of populations by county of people that have disabilities. And as you can see, even rural counties have a high proportion of people with disabilities, not just limited to places such as urban areas where we might think of accommodations being a little bit more prevalent for people with disabilities. So something to take in mind that, like I say, all parks, all areas need to take into account providing equal access. So one thing we did a few years ago, which was kind of a new thing as technology was evolving, and we had a great opportunity to do things. So we created a new assessment tool. And part of the state guidelines on complying with the ADA is that each state agency is charged with conducting a thorough assessment of all their facilities and services throughout the state. So as you can imagine, somebody or an agency like Game, Fish, and Parks, where we have hundreds and thousands of different facilities and things out there that we're responsible for and all over the state, it's a daunting task to do that. So with the help of our amazing GIS team, we developed in-house a system and a program to go out there and assess the bulk of our facilities that we provide to the public out there. And we started this process in 2021, and we're continuing that process today. But originally, we inventoried over 1,400 assets. And, we tried to come up with a system that was very versatile in how we did this, because it's not an easy task to look at every facility and thing we have out there and try to make a judgment call whether it's in compliance or not. But it was important that this system was, something that easy for our staff to use, because this is something that we kind of put out there for all our staff and all our managers to go through their facilities and be part of the annual inspection process and to include looking at accessibility issues as they're going about their annual inspection. So we were able to do this with the aid of iPads and phones and things like that. So it was successful in that sense that it's not a very paper burdened type of process. And most of all, it's a self-led process. It's complete with pictures and diagrams and examples of things that are, acceptable and things that aren't acceptable. So, hats off to our AD or our GIS team for developing a really great system. I think it's a great model for anybody who's willing to try to, take on this kind of assessment throughout the state. But it also is a good education tool for our staff. Once they get out there and they're going through this process of evaluating facilities, it really helps all of our staff be more, aware and educated on the ADA and then what things to look for. And as you really kind of get into it, you kind of realize it's not always the obvious. So we really have to kind of look at those things that from a lot of different people's perspective, that things that could be a barrier and things that aren't a barrier. And it's not just a set of stairs or things like that. It could be very small things as well. So it really worked out well. And this is just a quick look at the dashboard that comes with this. It helps us prioritize, what those assessment needs are from a poor to an excellent scale. It helps us identify where in the state that these particular assets are at, and it allows us, once corrections are made, to go back in and update those assessments. So our goal is to change things from red to more of a green throughout the state. But like I say, it does allow us to make priorities of things that are more critical than others, but also keep all those projects on the table for progression towards compliance. A little bit about this year. We had a lot of discussions internally here with leadership and with Jeff and other staff about, things that we do every year. Every year we do ADA improvement projects. It's part of our capital development project process. It's also part of our just general operations. We try to assess and look at these projects as much as possible. But this year we decided to try to step it up a notch and really identify some more projects that we could do to really, make an advancement on compliance and improvements for folks with disabilities. And here's just a short list of some of those that we identified that we were going to do extra and also provide some funding for our managers to complete some of these projects. Just going through them real quickly here, the Custer State Park Visitor Center Amphitheater. We're working on a path that would get down to that amphitheater from the visitor center to be able to provide good access for that amphitheater, which will be a very popular facility for programming and other activities. And then the rest of them are a lot of them are campsites. And we do have a standard that we try to follow for how many ADA accessible campsites are in every campground. And we try to increase those whenever we get a chance. So here at Lewis and Clark, we're looking at adding two more ADA campsites there. Union Grove over by Beersford, some ADA campsites, Pelican, Lake Ponset, and Custer State Park are all slated for additional ADA campsites. For those areas. A typical ADA campsite, again, it's not just about campsites, but that's a big part of what we do, obviously. So we construct a lot of these every year and try to improve them. But obviously the goal is to find good sites that fit the mold for accessibility. We like to make sure that they're level. They have a hard, durable surface that they can navigate around their campsite with to get to the various amenities that a campsite offers, such as a fire grate or a campfire ring or picnic table and the electrical pedestal, things like that. And also just be able to enjoy and use the campsite as much as possible. But also when we're looking at locating these ADA campsites, we look for sites that are really nice sites that are great camping experiences. And they not only provide a great experience, but also access to other parts of the park, such as comfort stations and toilets and things like that. So quite a bit of planning goes into how we select and design and locate these ADA campsites throughout the system, but they're very popular. Just another side note on ADA campsites is that we also have a process within our reservation system that holds these sites back for people with disabilities until they are the last site available for that reservation period. So they are reserved for those folks until they are the last site available, and then they're released to the general public. So we do provide that extra opportunity for people with disabilities to have a shot at one of these ADA campsites. Okay, so just a few more pictures here on kind of things we've been doing here in recent years. Back to those previous projects, a lot of those are in progress right now, and they're slated for completion yet this fall. So I don't have a lot of good pictures to show of where we're at with those specifically, but like I said, there's a lot of projects that we've been doing ongoing here in the last few years. And one is that Custer State Park. These are some of the ADA campsites that we've completed here. One unique thing that the Custer State Park staff has been doing is they've been utilizing, instead of concrete, they've been using crushed limestone. We have a very good, high quality crushed limestone source there in Custer State Park that, once it's placed, compacted, and finished off in the right manner, it performs a lot like concrete. It's very durable, hard surface, and it performs well. So that's kind of a new experience, and it's a lot cheaper than concrete. So we're able to do more sites with what was budgeted. So we're able to extend that opportunity even a little bit more there at Custer State Park. So I know the staff are really proud of how these turned out, and are looking forward to doing a few more there at Custer State Park. And we typically do a lot of additions or modifications to our camping cabin sites to make sure that, like I say, those camping cabins are not only accessible, but that the experience around it is accessible as well. The fire grate, the picnic table, maybe the opportunity to enjoy some nice views of the park and things like that. So we very often with concrete and other facilities to improve those sites so that we have a really nice accessible campsite. This is an area at Lake Cochrane that was just recently done as well. And one important aspect of access is, like I say, it's not just the facility itself, it's making sure there's an accessible route from where the person parks to how they get to those facilities. So as you can see, this new sidewalk that was established at Cochrane leads to a handicapped accessible parking space, but also provides access to a picnic shelter, some picnic tables, and the swim beach that are all in one shot there. So this was a very nice project that kind of killed a lot of birds with one stone in terms of accessibility, and definitely enjoyable for a lot of folks. Our administrative facilities, such as our welcome centers, they require accessibility as well for both staff and visitors that come in. We've enjoyed the ability to build a lot of prefabricated structures through the use of the Springfield Penitentiary services there. Unfortunately, when you have those prefab structures, you can't put a structure on slab on grade. A lot of times those structures are required to come with a floor joist system, sometimes 16, 18 inches thick. So the ability to put those structures on grade is difficult. So we typically have to do some modifications to those buildings to make sure that they're accessible, including putting ramps and different things to make sure that we have good access to our office buildings and other structures that are brought into the park. Then last, this example, I really enjoyed this picture. I remember it. It was quite a while ago. It was back when the Rough Lock Falls project was taking place. We recently had taken over that area from Homestake Mining Company, and we're in the process of improving a lot of the areas. Some of the issues with that area at the time were it was being loved to death. It was a lot of folks were immersing themselves into the streams and the habitat there, and the level of degradation was pretty significant there in terms of the resource there. So part of that design process was to try to provide accessibility as much as possible, but it's a tough site. Rough Lock Falls has a lot of elevation, a lot of topography to it. Making the entire area and the entire trail system accessible was probably not feasible, but anytime you do an accessibility project, it's important to try to make sure that they're able to immerse themselves into the experience as well. And in this particular example was an area where we knew people loved to dip their toes into the water a little bit, but not get actually into it, but also provide people there and And we were just there that day, kind of inspecting some of the construction. You see some of the construction workers still in the background, and it was already being utilized by a family, a couple with their granddaughters, just enjoying it there. So he was able to enjoy a nice experience with his granddaughters in that particular thing as it was designed. So areas like Rough Lock Falls, extremely beautiful location, and we try to make those as accessible as possible and try to provide as much as opportunity as we can. And most times when you build it, they will come and enjoy those. So that's just a little, a brief snapshot of kind of what we're doing with accessibility projects, with the ADA, this year. And we continue to do so. And I say every project, everything team, every time we touch a facility with a renovation project, things like that, it's always first and foremost that we consider folks with disabilities as we build those facilities. So with that, I'd be glad to take any questions.
Questions,
Commissioner. Commissioner Beasier, is there a requirement on how many campsites we have ADA, or do we have a goal on what we want to get to how many we have?
The chair. Yes, there are some established standards, established with the ADA on campsites and the number that are required. I can't state those right off the top of my head. I believe there's maybe two for every 25, and then from there, the number of campsites as it goes up, there's a requirement for those. We've got some areas where we still need to meet those standards, so we're continually trying to add sites where we can, especially where that we know that there's a significant use there. And there are some standards out there that we follow.
Additional questions,
Madam Chair?
Commissioner Bartley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartley, with the cabins that we continue to add into or build, are any of those being built with ADA accessibility to them? Or are they kind of a canned structure that you really don't have the opportunity to, I guess, change them?
Okay. Mr. Chair, we started building camping cabins probably back in the 80s. And they started off as a fairly modest little structure, like about a 12 by 12 interior space there. Like I said, that was probably right at the time when the ADA was coming around. So we do have a lot of those in use yet today. But since then, we've modified that design to, I believe it's a 12 by 16 now, living space inside it. And in some cases, even bigger. Our Bureau of Reclamation Parks, Angostura, Shade Hill, we've worked with the Bureau of Reclamation even on a bigger version that has even a larger handicapped accessibility there. So, pretty much in the last 20 or years or so, most of our cabins follow that more modern layout. And in most cases, we'll have maybe one of the older structures there, but since then we've added a newer structure next to it. So there isn't an accessible option within most parks where those older structures exist.
Additional questions, comments? Al, just one, and first a comment. I think it's wonderful that the department has provided these modifications so individuals with a disability can connect to the outdoors. How do they know? Do we do any additional communication or marketing? So if there are families or individuals that aren't aware we have these opportunities?
Yes, Madam Chair, we have on our website kind of a guide to various things where if somebody has a special request, they could submit a special request form. If they know that a person with a disability is coming into a park, and for example, if they need like a hearing translator, something like that, they can make a special request through our website for those services if they like so. So yes, through our website, and then also, most of our cabins, we do designate them as accessible. Our campsites are designated as accessible on our reservation system. So if people are looking for a lodging option, it's included in that reservation information, whether that facility has accessible features or not. So
additional questions or comments? Seeing none, we appreciate the update.
Thank you.
And that will bring us to the end of today. Good work, everyone. We've only got four items left for tomorrow. And so with that, we will begin 8 a.m. Central Time tomorrow morning. So we will be at ease until tomorrow morning. Thanks, everyone.